If you would, to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. The name of the message is Divine Providence. Divine Providence. Psalm 97. We'll read the whole psalm. It's only 12 verses, so we'll read the whole psalm. But our main focus will be on verse 1. That'll be our launching point to the 3 points. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. It's not up for question. It's not up for debate. The scriptures declare, the Lord reigneth. Oh, as we sung in that song, that make us say it is well. It's well with my soul. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad. And think of that in light of there was a time when we didn't hear. We know Zion is the church. There was a time when we didn't hear, but when we heard and when we've been given hearing ears, now that we've been given hearing ears, we're glad, aren't we? We're glad. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now tonight we'll look at the subject of divine providence, and our text will be the first verse of Psalm, this psalm where we read, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Have you ever talked to someone who may ask, is anybody running this world? You ever ran across people then that in your life, and some people who don't believe in the Lord at all, and they wonder, what is going on? You meet them all the time, don't you? And if you were to go outside and you were to ask 100 different people, who do you think is running this world? You'd probably get 100 different answers. You really would. And some claim that things happen by chance. And some believe things are just fate. And some believe that there's a cold intelligence at the helm of the universe. And again, if you ask 100 different people, you'll get 100 different answers to what they think. And everybody, I'll tell you what, you start asking people, they'll be glad to give you their opinion. They always are. They always are. But the scriptures here very plainly, right before us, proclaim a truth. And like I said earlier, it's not up for debate. The Lord reigneth. He reigns. That means, as a king sits upon the throne and is in dominion over the vast domain, whatever dominion he has, whatever amount of land he has, right? He is in charge. He is over it all. It's his. Well, the Lord reigneth. He reigns over heaven and earth. He reigns over things visible and invisible. He's an absolute monarch. It's not up for debate. And for God's people, this is real comforting for us. This is really comforting for us. So some may ask, though, who's running this world? If the world is run by someone, who's in control? Some claim in the religious world that Satan's in control of this world, and some claim that it's run by a group of dictators and human kings. Christian people who study the Word of God and believe what it says, that's the other thing, we believe what it says, we know that this universe, this world, is ruled by our great God. And He is our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one mentioned right here in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. We often speak of His providence. We often speak of His providence, we who believe in the Lord. And it means that He reigns. He's in full control. Nothing happens by chance. Spurgeon said the word luck should be struck from the Christian's vocabulary. I agree with him. There's nothing. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance. No. Absolutely nothing. Now, things catch us by surprise, don't they? Oftentimes they do, right? Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He is the creator, He is the controller, and He is the director. He is absolutely, fully sovereign. That's what this means. The Lord reigneth. He reigns. He's in full control. Now, the way some people talk, God isn't running anything at all. He just wound it up and let it go. Wound it up and let it. He, according to them, maybe He lost interest in it. I don't know, but or He's lost control over it. No. When we study the Word of God, we know that our God is in absolute full control. Providence has been defined as God's attention concentrated everywhere. Everywhere. I told you guys looking at that blade of grass today. You know what came in my mind too? I didn't mention it this morning, but you know what came in mind? All the blades of grass in the world that are moving. And He knows exactly that they're He is that much in control, beloved, that not even a sparrow falls to the ground anywhere in this globe without Him knowing. And the Scriptures declare that He knows us so intimately that even the very hairs of our heads are numbered. That's an intimate knowledge. Vicki and I were talking today about, in light of all this, and about how God is the ultimate artist. He's the ultimate artist. This world is a masterpiece. And it's a fallen world though now, right? Because when Adam fell, but when He first created, it's a masterpiece. But even we can look at it and go, this is beautiful. We see God's beauty everywhere, don't we? We see His handiwork everywhere. And then just think that He's in full control. And then we see one another who are His blood-bought people, and we're miracles of His grace. We're monuments to His grace and His mercy. The God of the Bible is infinite in power. Therefore, He can concentrate on everything in every place. There is not a place, there is not one place in this universe, in the heavens, in the earth, anywhere that He is not in full control. He controls it and He cares for it. He created all. He sustains it all. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 136 and Isaiah 46. Psalm 136:25. Look at this. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Let's start in verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Even the unsaved feast on the bounty from his hand. It says there, who giveth food to all flesh. All flesh. For his mercy endureth forever. And then turn, if you would, to Isaiah 46:10. And look at this. We've read this verse many times, but let's look at it in light of this. God in full control. Absolutely full control. I love this portion of Scripture. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring. Now, remember things. We know things from the beginning of our life, right? And until we die, we learn things as we go along, right? So we learn, we go from beginning to end. Remember, God is outside of time and space. He created time and space. And he's outside of that. And his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. Look at this, declaring the end from the beginning. He already knows everything that's going to happen. The Scripture proves that too, doesn't it? Because there were things prophesied by God that came to pass. He knows the end from the beginning. And I love this. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. From eternity, beloved. From eternity. I think it was Joe who masterfully brought out that it's just eternity. It's not just eternity past, present, and future. It's eternity. He dwells in eternity. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done saying, look at this, my counsel shall stand. That's not changed. Folks say, well, the Bible there, it was written years ago, and it's just not for modern times. Well, I hope the Lord will give people like that faith in Christ, because otherwise they're just perishing their sins, and then they're going to find out that his counsel does stand. My counsel shall stand. And look at this. And I will do all my pleasure. That tells us that God does whatever he pleases. And you know, this goes against the grain of what's taught in modern religion. But think of this. I want us to bring this home. It says there, and I'll do all my pleasure. Brother Chet, God was pleased to see him. It brought him pleasure. Bring it home to every one of us who are his blood-bought people. It pleased God to save us. Isn't it wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. He does whatever he pleases. He saves whomever he will. And no one can stay his hand. And no one can say, what are you doing? Which is, what doest thou? No one. He does whatever he pleases in the armies of heaven. And the Scripture says, and none can stay his hand. None. Think of if someone came up to a king in the olden days and said, well, you know, sir, I know you told me that I have to do this, but I'm not going to do that at all. It wouldn't be long before his head was gone. wouldn't it? And people think that they just shake their fists at God. You can't do that. He can do whatever he pleases. He can do whatever he pleases. That's the God of the Bible. He reigns. That's what the scripture said, isn't it? He reigns. He reigns in absolute power. Think upon this. A man may manufacture articles and then lose control over them. A man may be killed in an airplane that he makes. He may be killed in a car that he makes. He may be poisoned by medicine that he manufactures. A father or mother may be disgraced by a daughter or son that they rear. But God is in absolutely no danger from his creation. He cannot be disgraced by his creatures. And all who oppose him will one day find themselves in absolute disgrace, danger, and destruction. Providence is mysterious. Sometimes, from our side, things seem to be in disorder and confusion as we look at this world and we see conflict in different places. And sometimes there seems to be no order or plan. Disorder seems to be everywhere. And people often come to the conclusion that, that's when people come to the conclusion that, well, nobody's in control. Well, that's natural man's thinking. And I know because I was there. There seems to be no order in the movement of bees to and from the hive. But examine the honey, and you will see a plan, an arrangement in order. Brother Tom told me, if you want to see intelligent design, just study a beehive. He raises bees. He has some beehives. And he says, Wayne, all you got to do is look, and you see intelligent design there. It's absolutely stunning. So take your breath away. Bees gather their stores of honey against a time of need, and they are colonized by man's superior intelligence for their own purpose. So men plan and yet are overruled by infinite wisdom, by God for his own glory. Now to the believer in Christ, providence is very comforting for us. To know that the Lord reigns is very comforting for us. Very comforting for us. And I am glad that everything is under his control, are you? Because then we know the truth of Romans 8:28. Knowing that God is in control, we can know the truth of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And divine providence is precious to the believer. But it would not be if God was not in control. Providence covers all the little things as well as great things. As I said earlier, the very hairs of our head are numbered. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 10:29. And we'll see. We'll just look at this one verse about the little sparrow. We see sparrows all the time, don't we? Oftentimes, flying. I love sparrows. I could watch them all day long. I just love that little bird. Oh my. Look at this. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very, look at this in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Isn't that wonderful? God says of his people, you're of more value than many sparrows. And yet not even a sparrow falls to the ground without him noticing. I love that. The very hairs of your head are numbered. That's an intimate knowledge, beloved. That's an extremely intimate knowledge. I don't even know how many nut hairs I have. And it's my body. But God knows. It's incredible. Our fingers are sewed up. Every one of us have different fingerprints too. It's incredible. Absolutely stunning. So we have no trouble in seeing that God is in control of the good. We see His reign in the church and where the members are interested in service, His service and in love and live for His glory. And we can see God's reign in the Christian home where everything is ordered and carried on for His honor. But the hard thing for us to see is that He reigns everywhere and that He's in control of the wicked as well as the good. And God's control with respect to man's evil acts is described in the Bible as of four sorts. Number one, God's providence is preventative. It's preventative. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. God, by His providence, prevents sin which would otherwise be committed. Now, I was thinking about this today. And I was thinking about the wickedness that happened during the war and the atrocities. War is always a time where there's atrocities and wicked things happen. Well, wicked things happen every day too, though. You know, but often think about, you read about what some of the folks did to other people, and how cruel they were. But know that was restrained. Oh, how evil men would be if we were left to our own self fully. I don't even want to think of how we'd be. Genesis chapter 20, verses 3 to 6. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he, "Not unto me, she is my sister." And she herself said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou hast done this in the integrity of thy heart." Look at this. "For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." So God's providence is preventative. He restrains sin. He restrains sin. And we know the love of Christ restrains us, doesn't it? It restrains us. The wicked do not do all that they would do if God did not prevent them from doing it. All the iniquity that is in the human heart does not come out. God restrains men from sinning. And we who believe know this to be true in our own lives also. Number two, God's providence is permissive. Permissive. God permits sinful men to cherish and manifest the evil dispositions of their hearts. Now, God is not the author of sin at all. All He has to do for a man to sin is simply leave them alone. And I can testify of that before I was saved, can you? Just think of how we were. My gosh. He just has to leave a man or a woman alone, and our sin nature will take care of the rest. What does God have to do for a man to go to hell? What's He have to do? Leave him alone. What does God have to do for a man to go to heaven? One word. Everything. Everything. Christ came down to this world. God Himself. Living the perfect life that we could never live. As our substitute. Can any of us in this room live a perfect life? Not one of us. Eh? Christ did it for us. We who are His people, He did it as our substitute. And then he goes to that cross, the sinless man, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he dies upon that tree for my sin. And if you're a believer, for your sin. He did everything for us, didn't he? He did everything we couldn't do. Everything. Oh, what a great God we have. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. I'll read a portion in 2 Chronicles 32, 1. It says, "How abate in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." And look at this in Psalm 81, verses 12 and 13. Look at this. "So I gave them up unto their own hearts." Unto their own hearts' lust. He gave them up. "And they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." It says right there, he gave them up into their own hearts. Just left them alone. Turn it, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. God leaves men alone and they walk in their own ways. "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways?" Acts 14, 16. Look at this in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This is very clear right here. Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Look at that. He gave them up. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them," there it is, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient." He just gives them over. Gives them over to their own lusts. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, we don't vault ourselves up as God's people because we know there was a time when we walked in our own ways. Praise God, he didn't leave us there. Praise God. Because if he had of, we'd still be doing those things. Oh, beloved of God, we have received mercy. Mercy. C.D. Cole tells of a woman who had been slandered and how she recoiled and rebelled when told that God had permitted it for her good. She maintained that Satan had inspired her accuser and she needed to learn that God had permitted the work of Satan. Turn, if you would, to Job. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Here's a lesson that can be learned for us. Who is really in control? Who is really in control? Now, in religion, I remember the religious circles anyways that I hung around with, they spoke that the way they spoke about Satan, well, you thought Satan was ruling everything. You thought he was ruling everything. And I listened to Brother Henry, and he straightened me out in that. Satan's on a leash. You know, he can only do what God allows. Now, he's far greater foe for us We could not handle him. But he's submissive to our King, beloved. He's submissive to our Father. He's submissive to our Savior. Look at this in Job chapter 2. Let's look at verses 3 to 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Oh, thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now look at this in verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life." He couldn't kill him. Who's in control there? God. Amen, brother. God's in full control there. He's in full control, beloved. Remember our text? He reigneth. Who's reigning there? Who's coming before who? You notice that? Even Satan's got to come before the King. Oh my, beloved. Oh my. This is our great God. And his providence is permissive. The next is his providence is directive. The evil in human heart will certainly come out if God does not prevent it. So when it does come out, he directs it, its flow in one direction or the other, so that its flow will not overthrow God's purpose. And he even has man's evil accomplish his own will, his own purpose. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 50. We have a very clear picture there. Genesis chapter 50 and also in Acts chapter 4. Genesis chapter 50 and Acts chapter 4. And then I'll read Psalm 76:10, which says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Psalm 76:10. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Look at this though in Genesis 50. A story we're all familiar with. Story of Joseph and his brethren. And look at verses 19 and 20. And we see here that God overrules. He's overruled the evil that Joseph's brethren meant for Joseph. We see it overruled by God's providence. Genesis 50, verse 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not." Those are precious words right there. Fear not. I want to do a message one time just on those two words. Fear not. Oh. That's what David told Mephibosheth. Remember, Mephibosheth thought, "Man, I'm dead." Because remember, whenever a new king took over, they'd slaughter the old house. He thought, "I'm dead." But oh, David and Jonathan had made a covenant before Mephibosheth was even born. And that pictures God's covenant between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in eternity. Before we were even born, beloved. And David said to Mephibosheth the same words, "Fear not. Fear not." So here we see Joseph, who's a type of Christ, saying unto his brethren, "Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." See, what they did was evil. But God used it for good. He overruled it, didn't he? He reigns, beloved. Look at this. "As it is this day to save much people alive." Oh, now, you could take that right to Christ, couldn't you? Let's go to Acts chapter 4, and I'll show you how. Acts chapter 4, look at this. Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28. We know that wicked men took the Lord of glory and crucified him, didn't they? And God allowed it to happen, didn't he? He allowed it to happen. Look at this, though. This is marvelous. And think of that in light of what Joseph said to save much people alive. Look at this. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Well, that's everyone, isn't it? They're gathered together. Look at this. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Look at that. Wicked men took our Lord, didn't they? And they crucified him. Remember, he knows the end from the beginning. Remember, he reigns. He's in absolute control. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Nothing catches God by surprise. Remember that when a trial comes up in our lives. Because they often do. Remember, or a time of sorrow that just suddenly comes upon us. Nothing catches God by surprise. Take it to the Lord. Take it to our King. Go to Him and just fall before Him. Ask Him to give you grace and strength to make it through whatever you're going through. That's what I do. I just go to the Lord and just plead for Him to give me grace and strength. That's what I pray for all of you when I hear that you're going through something. Oh Lord, give Him grace and strength. Give Him grace and strength. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's God in full control. His providence is directive. And then His providence is determinative. God determines the bounds reached by the evil passions of His creatures. Again, in Job chapter 1, I'll just read it. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in his hand. Is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Again, he couldn't kill Job. But he did. The Lord did say to him, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth thine hand. God made a boundary, doesn't he? He said, you can't go further than that. Who's in control? God's in absolute control, beloved. He's in absolute control. God in His providence permitted Satan to move against Job. But God was watching over his sheep the whole time. Satan could not take Job's life because he was not permitted to do so. He was not permitted to do so. So we can conclude from that God is in full control. Full control. Let us close reading Psalm 124. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 124, and we'll close with this. In light of our Lord reigneth. Our Lord reigneth. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when man rose up against us. Now think of this for us. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. And men rise up against us, don't they? Sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's our friends. Sometimes it's co-workers. Sometimes it's people you don't even expect. Eh? That's usually what it is. Look at this. Then had they swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. The Lord reigneth, beloved. He watches over every single one of His sheep. Every single one of them. Our soul that has escaped is a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Now here is a verse for us to burn into our hearts, beloved. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Beloved, the Lord reigns, and He is the help of His people. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank Thee for Thy Word. Oh, may we draw comfort, Lord, from these precious Scriptures which we've looked at tonight, knowing that You reign, Lord, and that You are in full control. And whether it be right down to our lives, little things that happen in our lives and things that surprise us, Lord, they never catch You by surprise. And as we looked at in Sunday school, sometimes we go through fiery trials. Sometimes we're put in the furnace, Lord. But it's always to refine us. It's always to refine us, just as gold is refined in the furnace. But Lord, You are our help. You are our help, and we desperately, desperately need Your help every day. Every day, O Lord. May You be glorified and magnified through the preaching of this, Your Word. And may You receive all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's close in a song. Let's sing, "There Is a Fountain," 222. 222. Everybody stand up if you would. 222.